and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Let's notice the text in 1 Chronicles 22. There are three things presented in that chapter that I want to share with you today, and I can only touch the hem of the garment in doing so. But the first is the charge that was given to Solomon, a young man. I don't know how old he was. Some say at the time he might have been 24 or 5. Others say he might have been as young as 14 or 15. I don't know for sure what age he was. But I know in 1 Chronicles 22:6 that David called for Solomon and he came before him and he charged him to build a house for God. And then David went on to say, it was in my heart, in my mind to do this. But God said, you cannot, because you're a man of blood. Because you've shed much blood on the earth. Nevertheless, the Lord God said to him that your son Solomon, I'll give him peace during his days, during his reign. And I will bring through him the realization of your dream. This was a great charge that David made to Solomon. In 1 Kings 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, now the time drew nigh that David should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be you strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and His statutes, in His judgments and His commandments. That wherever you go, you may prosper. Think about David, a man who followed after God's own heart. During those waning days of his life, when Solomon comes before him and he says, Solomon, there's some things that I desire and I expect out of you. Not only that, but there's some things that God requires and expects of you. Parting words have always been significant words. If I could talk with many of you today, personally, you could probably say to me, oh, I remember the parting words maybe spoken by a departed mate. Maybe by someone else that you love and appreciated so much. And you remember those words. I've stood by the bedside of dying parents, and I've had them say to me, Brother Medlin, my children or some of my children are lost. I want you to talk to them. I want you to try to do something with them. Some of the last words ever said by parents. Otis Gatewood, great missionary and our first missionary to Germany, said the words of his mother rang always in his ears. Be a good boy, Otis. Kay Moser, a young man because of religious convictions, was sent to prison a few years ago. And he said before those prison doors clanged behind him, his dad said to him, be a man, son. My dad has gone on to be with the Lord. But I'll never forget that day when I came out of the water, was baptized in a stream over in Jackson County. And as I walked up out of the water and I came up to my dad burst out in tears and he said, be faithful. And I've thought about those words many, many times. I've thought about them more since I cannot hear words spoken by my dad. Be faithful. But let me tell you, they have been marching words, and they've been words that have charged me with the tremendous responsibility. And I know how Solomon must have felt when his great and godly father said to him, Solomon, it was in my heart to accomplish this, but it was a dream that I didn't realize. I'm asking you today, what are your dreams for God? What are the things today that you want to see accomplished in God's work and God's service? And I'm not talking about castles in the sand. I'm not talking about daydreams. I'm talking about something that we have in view and we put hands and feet on those dreams and we bring them to realization. Let's remember those who've gone before us, how much they have done, how hard they have worked, what they have meant. The Hebrew writer describes it in Hebrews 12:1. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A great cloud, a great sea of witnesses. Of course, He was speaking about something of which they were familiar, those Olympic Games, conducted every 4 years, in which thousands upon thousands of people would gather into the huge Olympic stadium. And they'd watch those runners around that track perform. Using that kind of setting, He was saying to those who are Christians, just like those Olympic runners are surrounded by thousands and thousands of witnesses in the stands, He said, do not forget that we are compassed with a cloud of witnesses. A great array of the faithful who've gone before us, a testimony of their faith and their conviction, that ought to be the motivation, that ought to be a catalyst to cause us to faithfully perform the work God would have us to do. Thank God for those great and good and glorious people who've been a part of the rich history of this church. The legacy that they have left for us is something that should motivate us and cause us to move forward and to move onward. The Lord doesn't expect the church to be in the caretaker business. And I hope and trust that no member of this church thinks in that direction. That this church will be alive and it will be vibrant, it will be enthusiastic and dedicated. There will not be a tomb, not be a beautiful mausoleum. I believe, frankly, today in the church across our land, and I'm not being judgmental, I'm not being hypocritical, I believe so many times that we have relegated the church into beautiful mausoleums. Now, I know what a mausoleum is, and I know that you do too. But I'm saying that the church today must be vibrant, enthusiastic. It must be alive. It must be on fire for the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His coming, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Timothy was told, Timothy, be sure that you preach the Word. And in preaching the Word, it's to comfort those who are afflicted and to afflict those who are comfortable. Charge, a responsibility. And then David said to Solomon, I've prepared. I've made preparation for you. Read in verses 2, 3, and 4. He mentioned some of the things that he had done. He had prepared wood, stone, brass, silver, and gold. In the 14th verse, he said, I have prepared for you abundantly 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver. Iron and brass without measure. Think about that for a moment. 100,000 talents of gold. 1,000,000 talents of silver. But he didn't say that's enough. He didn't say, Solomon, the work you have to do is so little that you don't have to do anything more. He said, I've prepared for you abundantly, but to these you must add. I've made preparation. All of these things are available to you. But don't think you can do for God on yesterday's accomplishments. You can't rest on your laurels. Last year's pennant winners doesn't mean that they're winning today. And so you can't rest on your laurels. You have to be busy and active about it all the time. To these you must add, and so to this church. You remember the words of that great man David long ago to his son, these you must add. There is no place to stop. There is no place to quit. But we must always be going onward and upward. To these you must add. And then last of all, not only the challenge, not only the preparation that had been made, but also the action that must be taken, the deeds that must be done. In verse 15, he says, you have workmen that are skillful in every work. Hewers of wood. Men that are skillful in every work. I believe that in this church there is unlimited talent. I believe that there are people that are skillful in so many, many things. Then that 16th verse sums it all up. When he said to Solomon, arise and let us be doing. And brethren, that's what I'm suggesting to you today. We have the resources. We have the talent. Let's use it. Let us arise and let us be doing. Doing not by words, but by action. Really believing. In order for us to accomplish what God wants to be accomplished, we must believe and we must set to that task. We must arise and we must be doing. Perhaps you remember the tightrope walker. As the crowd was watching him walk this tightrope, as he walked from one end of the platform over to the other on this wire, they all cheered, and then he said to them, "How many of you believe that I can roll a wheelbarrow over this wire, this rope?" And several hands went up into the air. And then he asked the major question, "How many of you are willing to get into that wheelbarrow?" Not a hand went up. You see, they said they believed, but they didn't show it. I'm asking you today, how many of us are willing, as it were, to get into the wheelbarrow? Of course you know what I mean. How many of us are willing to roll up our sleeves and give feet to our prayers and hands to our actions to arise and be doing? Great things cannot and are never accomplished without a lot of dedication, a lot of commitment, and a lot of hard work. And I hope to that end all of us will be. I hope and pray that you'll be willing and you'll be ready to be a part of everything you can to extend God's cause and God's work. I remember a mother who had a son who played on the football team, and she didn't know very much about football. She knew that when the ball was centered, he's one of those fellas back there, back of the line. And one day someone said to her, "Now your son's playing football. Now just what position is it he plays?" She said, "Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure." But she said, "I think he's whole back. I don't know what your position is, but what I'm simply saying is, let's none of us be a whole back. Let's either carry the ball, try to make a room, a way for somebody who's trying to do so, or get out of the way." No, you didn't misunderstand me. We don't need to be whole backs. We need to be people who are committed and dedicated to doing what we can do, the talent, the abilities that God has. And as we do, if you will do your dead level best, putting your hand in the hand of the Lord, I can assure you of victory. The Lord has no failures. Never has, never will. The Lord has no failures. And the Lord doesn't make any junk, as someone said. When He made you, when He made me, He made us something that could be forceful and dynamic and useful and beneficial for Him. God doesn't make any junk. He made all of us that we could be tools and resources and workers in His great army, in His kingdom, and in His precious body, the church. And I urge you, and I plead with you, let's all of us be resolved to that task. And I know God will give victory. He always has. He always will. And let's be sure we don't let Him down. If you're not a Christian today in this audience, you need to become one. Believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized, and beginning the greatest journey in the world.